the Wayne Ayers Podcast.
The Wayne Ayers Podcast.
Woohoo!
Time to wake your ass up for a blessed day.
About the bad news, like how did you find out?
I hope I'm not overspeaking here, but I can't, it's like a thing about me, I can't lie even if I really really want to. So the news about Stargirl, sorry, I was trying to send an email to find you. The news about Stargirl has kind of been on and off, I really hope I'm not overspeaking, but since May. I actually found out in May that Stargirl might not be picked up for a fourth season. And I was on an airplane, and I was actually flying to an event for Stargirl when I got the news. And it was so like, but that being said, it wasn't for sure. And the next few months after that became this emotional roller coaster of, I think it's going to get picked up, or, oh no, we're pitching it to a different streaming service, or, oh, we have to get this service to pick. So it just became this emotional roller coaster. Where I was almost like not expecting it, because I'm an annoying optimist and so is our showrunner, Jeff Johns. But like, I had almost been like prepped for it at that point because it had been such a roller coaster. But when I finally got the call from Jeff, our showrunner, I was on my way home from work from filming here in Vancouver. And I was so sad. I thought I was prepared because like, I was like, okay, like my skin is a little toughened at this point, but it's still, you know what, it, my heart is still healing from it. It's forever going to be like one of the greatest experiences of my life. And the really cool thing about being like in the DC universe and being a superhero is Stargirl could come back whenever and wherever when people least expect it. So even though technically the Stargirl set might not be coming back, I'm very optimistic that Stargirl might get to make a surprise appearance on like another DC show or something.
I know like people, like I know I saw like many, I think it was like, I want to say over at least 100,000 like petition signed for like to go to HBO Max. Was there like any talks about that at all?
I think so. I do know, here, one moment. I think my heater just turned on and I don't want it to like be super loud. I do not, the whole podcast is like I said, I try not to overspeak, but I do know Jeff. I always say Jeff Johns, my showrunner. I'm just going to call him Jeff. I do know Jeff, like, did not leave a rock unturned. He campaigned for Stargirl. And I think that's another reason I've had so much peace about it, is because I know, like, there was no, I don't think there was another option. Like every option was kind of seeked out and really campaigned for. So I was kind of given peace about like, no, this is truly what is meant to be. And nothing was left unspoken from what I understand. But once again, I hope I'm not overspeaking.
No, like I know everybody like they just want to see you on Stargirl. And I know like with the new like DC films and TV announcement, like James Gunn and Peter becoming CEO, like would you be open to like coming back at Stargirl like in the DCU? Kind of know they're gonna need it in the future.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think Stargirl has truly become a part of me, and vice versa. I have so much love for the character and her as a superhero. So yeah, if that opportunity ever came up, I would absolutely jump on it. Specifically if Jeff was attached, because he's the true heart and light behind Stargirl. So
I know like with filming and everything, like Stargirl like takes up most of your time. Is there like any like projects that you're like excited to even as like an audition for? Is there any projects coming your way since the announcement?
Yeah, well, like I said, I'm actually in Vancouver now filming these four movies for Lifetime and A&E. They're based on the VC Andrews book series called, I guess it's considered the Don Cutler series. So I've been here for a few months filming those, and they are so different from Stargirl, but it's, these projects have really pushed my acting, and that's been really fun. I mean, Stargirl pushed me in different ways, just like physically, acting as well. But this is like such an, these scripts are crazy. They're just so emotional up and down. And I'm really proud of the work I've gotten to put up, and I'm excited for people to see them.
Speaking of projects, I know you got, I think I made a list of them, Paula. There's Saturday at the Starlight, The Man in the White Van. I think there's like two more or three more that I saw.
Yeah.
Is there any way you could tell us about this project, or you can't say anything?
Yeah, so Man in the White Van, I filmed almost, it was about a year ago that we wrapped that film. It's cool because it's based on a true story. It's a fictional script, but it's based on a true story. Kind of like, you know how there's the creepy stereotype of white vans? Well, that actually comes from like a real life serial killer who took their victims in a white van. And so it's kind of bringing light to like that story and the real story behind the white van. I got to work along Ali Larder and Sean Astin, who played my parents, and Madison, she's our leading lady in that film. And I got to play her older sister, and it was really cool and really fun. Hopefully should be coming out sometime next year. I know they're in the editing room post-production. I think we actually have to do some reshoots on it. So who knows, but hopefully coming out soon. And then Saturday at the Starlight, literally filmed it 5 years ago. I don't know what's happening with it. I don't think it'll ever see the light of day, but regardless, it was a fun movie to be a part of.
Yeah, how does that ever work? Like, do they have to like make the movie then pitch it to networks, or like how does that ever work? Because like,
yeah, that one was considered an independent film, meaning like independent production companies came and put all their money and pennies together to make this movie, and then after the fact they go around and pitch it to get picked up by a streaming service or a bigger studio for theater release. But I don't know what's happening with it. Honestly, I think it's just shelved. I think it's one of those that just will sit on the shelf forever, which sucks, but it is what it is. Part of the industry.
I know like some shows stay like that for like 10 to 15 years. And yeah. Then they put it out. Like, would you like even want to go to the premiere if they had like a premiere for it?
No, I would, because I don't even really remember what it was about. Like, I couldn't even tell you one scene, but it was a really wonderful cast. It was, Abigail Breslin and Michael Madsen and Dylan Summerall, who's like, my person in real life too, which was fun. We actually got to shoot that at the beginning of our relationship. It was such a beautiful bonding experience. There's so many people that are such wonderful actors and talent attached to it. So I think the world should see it at some point. Maybe, I don't know, yeah.
I also heard you're going to be in what is the project called with it's Fran Drescher. I keep putting a
butcher. Yeah, yeah. So that's what I'm filming now.
Oh, that's what you're filming now?
Yeah. How's that like? Say again.
How's that like?
Oh, it's great. It's the one, like I said, is really pushing my acting. Gotten to work with really wonderful actors as well. I'm in Vancouver, which there's so much filming in Vancouver that like I'm getting to see like a lot of my actor friends. Just because they're filming their shows here, like Sophie Nalise, who's currently filming Yellow Jacket season 2, and Alex Garfin from Superman and Lois, like we've become such close friends. So I feel like Vancouver is like this little community of actors, and it's been really fun to like be in a different country, but also like see people that make me think of home.
I know, just speaking of Superman Lois, is there ever going to be a crossover? I know there's a possibility, people keep talking about it.
Yeah, I definitely think I think there's always possibility, which is like the cool part about the DCU. Like nothing is impossible. So if I have anything to do with it, sure, but I have nothing to do with it. So
I also have another one. There was talks of the Stargirl appearing in DC Titans. Is that even true? Or
I mean, like I said, all things are possible.
I mean, it's not no, but you know what I'm saying. what's one thing you'll miss about playing Stargirl?
I mean, this is going to be the most cliche answer, but it's the truth. And it's the cast and crew. We were working together for a time span of 4 years, even though we only did 3 seasons, we worked together for 4 years. And those people became family to me. Yvette, who played just Wildcat, who's, you know, Courtney's best friend on the show, she's easily become my best friend in real life. And so just like, you know, getting to work with people that you love so much, I think is such a blessing. I mean, it's just a blessing to have a job as an actor. Every time I show up to set, I'm like, live to see another day. But then get to go to a job where you love the people you work with, like, it's, I still don't believe I got to do that.
I know, like, a lot of people in our generation is kind of like, they're doing, get into the executive producing, writing, you know, directing. Is there, like, has there ever been talks between, like, you guys on set, like, hey, we should just go do this, like, one indie project, just, you know, or has there ever been something like that on set?
Yeah, well, I am a writer. That's, like, one of my other passions. Like, I just finished writing my first full feature that I'm currently in the process of, like, pitching to get funded and get made. Who knows how long that'll take, though, but I'm here, I'm doing it. But actually Yvette and I, we were talking like maybe a couple weeks ago saying, cause she's wanting to get into writing as well. I'm like, girl, we should just write a script together starring both of us and then go pitch it together. So I think all things are possible. I know Angelica's really, kind of going towards that, but she's also so busy as an actress too. I don't know how she'll ever have time, but, yeah.
I know you just mentioned like you just wrote your first feature film. Is there like, who's like your dream cast to have in there?
Oh my goodness. I mean, there's different characters in it. I did actually. So I love like rom-coms, like early 2000 coming of age romantic comedies. I love them. It's what I grew up on. They're very nostalgic to me. And I feel like they're made so seldomly nowadays. And so I started writing my script kind of with that in mind, because I would also like love to act in a proper rom-com. So I kind of wrote it in mind to star in it as well. But I'm also super open-minded, because I think even if I just got a script funded, but they were like, but we don't want you to be in it. Like, I think that would still be so cool to be like, oh, I'm officially a writer, like acting completely aside. I don't know. I don't want to talk about it too much, because it's still like, you know, I'm still like third draft. We got like 12 more drafts to go before it's even ready.
But you gotta speak these things to existence, you know?
Absolutely, manifestation. I completely believe in that.
But you also said rom-com, so you have to have like a co-star somewhere in there. Like, is it like a co-star you're thinking about in that, if you do get to star in it?
Yeah, so there's a really great father figure role in it. And it's, you know, dream cast. Someone I've worked with, Rob Briggle, before, and I just think he's absolutely hilarious. Also a really wonderful person. I took a lot of inspiration from Ted Lasso. So maybe like a little Jason Sudeikis action. Yeah.
Oh no, I feel like
why not? Yeah.
I mean, those are two good people to have in a rom-com. So I'm not even.
Yeah.
I have some fan questions for you, because, you know, I told everybody with the interview and they're like, we need you to ask all these questions. So they sent me a bunch of questions.
I love it. Bring on the questions.
Robert Culp wanted to know, what's your favorite scene and episode of each season of Stargirl?
My favorite scene in all
favorite scene and episode for each season.
Oh, goodness. Okay, let me think. Season one. I'm just going to say like what pops in my head first, because if I really went back and like watched the whole season, my answer would probably be different. But we'll just be like first thought. Season one, it would be episode 13, where Stargirl and Stripe are sitting on the water tower. And it's just this beautiful song. It's a beautiful shot. It was filmed on a green screen. So getting to like, you know, film on a water tower on a green screen and then see it being like, oh, wait, we're actually 100 feet in the air. However, that was really cool. And I think it was a really beautiful close to that season. Season two. Oh, you know what? It's Shadowlands episode, which I believe is episode 10 or 11, where Courtney gets stuck in the Shadowlands. That's my favorite episode, although my favorite scene is probably the Eclipso fight scene in episode 6 of season 2. That was a monster to film, and I really feel like it played well, like it was worth all the hard work that was put into it. In this most recent season, I mean, I'm gonna say the episodes to come, episode 13, you know, our season's a murder mystery, and I feel like episode 13 has so much, you know, like the whodunits finally get answered. And there's an epic fight scene at the end that I haven't seen yet, but I've heard that it's pretty crazy.
Okay, I'm actually excited to see this. This next person is a Twitter user. It's, I think the username Starbucks Lover, if I'm butchering, I'm sorry. They said, "What's your favorite Camney scene?" And if you had a fourth season, what would she like to see for them?
My favorite Camney scene. It's you know what, I'm gonna get so specific. I'm gonna give a Camney moment, and it's episode. It was this past episode that came out this past week. I guess episode 9, season 3, where Cameron is fighting Our Man, and he like protects Courtney with his ice powers. And even when we were filming it, because it was like he had to slide into it, and I had to like whip around and like cover my face, but then he came and protected me, and it felt so epic to film and seeing it. I just thought it was like very like heroic and beautiful. And I loved that moment. And if Camney was to continue, rest in peace. I guess maybe if they could finally like, I was about to give a spoiler. I can't even answer because the rest of the third season hasn't even come out yet. So whatever.
Okay.
Not me literally about to spoil the last episode of the season. Oops.
I know, I'm glad because CW have been calling me like, hey, that podcast episode cannot go up. Malik Arrowverse, I think that's his Twitter user. My bad. If I'm butchering everybody's name, y'all can hate me later. Do you feel the finale episode will resolve, wrap up, and answer questions and storylines?
If the final episode wraps up everything?
Like unanswered questions and the storylines for Stargirl.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff was so smart because obviously there's been a lot of changes in the CW and at Warner Brothers this past year. So the future of any show was in question. And because of that, he went the extra mile and he shot two different endings because he did not want to leave the fans with all these question marks. So there's a lot of beautiful closure in the last episode.
Speaking of, that's crazy, because the next user, Twitter user, was STCR West. My bad. You guys got some weird Twitter names. I need y'all to say your name. But they said, knowing that they really shot two versions of the finale in case of cancellation, can she disclose what was going to happen in the episode we won't get to see?
Yeah, so Jeff said he said he might end up releasing it on the DVD. He doesn't know. I hope he does, though. But it will make people sad because the fourth season idea was insane. Like, it just would have been epic, like on a whole different level. And I actually believe that's why it took so long for us to officially get the cancellation news, because everyone wanted this fourth season to be made, because it was, Jeff came in with such a wonderful idea. And that's why I think everyone really fought for it. But, you know, it wasn't meant to be. And it is what it is. But I hope he does, because I think, I don't know. I don't know. I have no power with that, but I think there is a world where people get to see or find out about it.
No, actually, I think that's like a cool concept. I feel like more shows should do that. Like, hey, this was going to happen if we continue on. Hey, this is like the ending. That's a very thoughtful thing to do. Mm-hmm. I know you guys probably get tired of it. Like, man, we're not trying to shoot two different episodes.
It was good though. I saw both endings. He showed me both. And they both made me cry. So.
I feel sad. I feel like that show was like, it was really family oriented, like more than the other Arrowverse show. It was really like family. How did that even come apart? Just the writing, or just how the crew and everybody just got along together?
I mean, I give so much credit to Jeff, because throughout the cast and crew, I think he chose really wonderful people. And that was kind of always like a priority to him, that if you were going to join this family, there were no bad apples. That was what I would say. It's like, we don't do bad apples on the Stargirl set. And because of that, we were just so blessed to have all fresh, crisp, wonderful apples.
Totally much agree. This guy named Son of Hera, I need you guys to work on your Twitter names, but it's okay. If you had one more season, what would you like to do with your character?
Well, that's hard because I know what our fourth season would have been. So I don't know. I'm going to say, I don't know. I'm very grateful that our third season ends so beautifully. I'll just say that.
Has there, this is like my personal question. Has there ever been like a scene that you wish that got cut, that you wish didn't get cut?
This is going to sound so horrible and I don't mean it to, but I tend to be in quite a bit of scenes. So like, I'll forget that scenes got cut. Like, I'll forget that we filmed them. And then Jeff will remind me, be like, oh yeah, remember that scene that I didn't make the cut? And I'm like, I would have never known. I forgot about it. Cause I mentally had to be in the headspace. Like, I would shoot the four scenes and then I'd have to forget about them because I had to start preparing for the scenes the next day.
Okay. Is there like something you wish you would you wish you could have added to the show? Like, even if wasn't going to be in the fourth season?
I guess more JSA stuff. So like more Yolanda, Rick, and Beth and Courtney. I think their dynamic was so fun and I would have loved if it could have gotten a little bit more light shed on it.
Okay. Richie96 says, is there going to be a Stargirl and the Flash crossover?
I didn't even know there was a Flash crossover. Cool. So I don't know. Maybe. I hope so. Is that bad? Did I just like say, is it like a known thing that there's a Flash crossover coming up?
Yeah, I think it was the title Armor. I want to say it's title Armor again. They're going to kill me if I get this wrong. But yeah, I think it's called, I believe there's a crossover coming up.
Oh, cool.
Brooke, I got two questions for Brooke. Brooke said, would you be open to doing more DC projects as Courtney if the opportunity presented itself?
Absolutely.
Okay. And then her next one was, what are three words you would describe the season three finale?
Shocking, epic, heart.
Okay, I like that. Is there like any way, because you know I'm gonna be the villain here, is there any way like, hey, I want to get into the Marvel universe after the DC one?
Absolutely. There's only been a few actors that have done it who have done both universes, so I want to be added to that list.
Is there like a certain character like, yo, I definitely would just like, I would love to be this character.
No, honestly, I've been so focused on like the DC comics as of the past 4 years of my life. I haven't really read any Marvel comics. So I don't know.
Okay. I love it. Given like your success and massive talent, I'm sure like you're always busy. I've seen you live on sets like even now. if you weren't like in the industry, like in the film industry, what would you like want to be? Or what would you see yourself doing?
I actually do something else besides acting. So like I said, I do writing, but that's in the entertainment industry. But I do real estate investing. I'm super passionate about real estate. I always have been. And I think it goes so well with my career as with my scheduled acting, because if I have a month or two hiatus, I can kind of buckle down, close on a property or two, and then get back up. And then I don't really have to worry about it again. So that's kind of like my other passion.
No, actually, I'm glad you said that. Like, I kind of want to get into this now a little bit more. Like, so like, yeah. what are like some good properties to buy right now? I know there's like a lot of stuff in Tennessee that's doing good. Like, yeah. What was like your advice for anybody? Like, hey, I want to be a real estate investor too. Like, what should be your
first move? Okay, that's such a loaded question because there's so many wonderful deals out there. What I would tell people who are wanting to get into it, like, yes, the real estate industry at this very moment can be very intimidating. Interest rates are high, prices are high. So what does that mean as an investor? There are still deals out there. Trust the numbers, look up formulas. Like, there are proper formulas for real estate investing to find out if you're making a good return. Plug in numbers. What I do is I just get on Zillow. And if it seems like it might be a good deal, I plug the numbers in. And if the numbers make sense, then I might do a little bit more research on it.
Okay, like, what is something that you consider like you guys should never do? Like, what's like you should never do this in real estate moment?
Rush into something. Double check everything. Double check, ask questions, even if it seems like a dumb question. The only dumb question is an unasked one. I've definitely made some mistakes in my first couple of deals, but every mistake I make, you know, I won't make that same mistake again. I also like, for me, I really struggled because there's so many different outlets in real estate investing. There's so many, you can flip houses, or you can do buy and hold, or you can do short-term rentals like Airbnb and Vrbo, or you can do long-term rentals where they're unfurnished and you have one tenant. And it was really hard getting into it, being like, what do I want to focus on? But I would say, sorry, I'm so passionate about this. I don't get to talk about it as much as acting. I would say, do your research, find one of the strategies that inspires you and try to perfect it.
I know you just mentioned like renting and like flipping, like which one do you enjoy more? Which one's like easier, stress-free? Like, man, this is easy, breezy. It's easier than the other ones.
Oh, I mean, I wouldn't say it's easier than the other one because it does. I think it takes a little bit more prep work. It's a little bit more hands-on, but I specialize in short-term rentals. But I actually, the last property I closed on, it is currently a short-term rental, but I'm planning on flipping it as well when I have time off. So that goes back to in January, February, when I'm not filming, I can go to that property, do a flip on it, and then decide if I want to like hold it as a short-term rental or sell it and just make it a flip. But yeah.
So like, do you every time you buy something, do you just renovate it?
So actually, no, the first property I did, it was move in ready. I got such a good deal. I got very lucky, and it was really hard because the first deal I closed on was such a home run. I compared every single deal after that to that one. And I'm like, but it's not as good as that one. And I had one of my, someone I look up to as like a mentor in the investing world. He told me, he was like, Breck, you got a home run and that's amazing. But if you only look for home runs, you're never going to make progress. You got to get some singles and doubles on your portfolio as well. And like, that's really great for me to hear because I was so terrified of if it didn't seem as wonderful as that first deal, I wasn't doing it. And he's like, you're scared. You can't be scared. I'm like, thank you. I needed to hear this.
What is like what is like considered like a good deal, like in real estate? Like,
oh, like, that's, okay, that's a vague question. It just depends. It depends on what you're looking for. It depends on what you're doing. For me, what's important is if it, cash flows positively. That's as long as it does that, I don't consider it a bad deal. Cause real estate in the history of real estate, values don't really go down. So, if you're, you know, building equity and then also cash flowing, that sounds pretty good to me, but that's like the most vague answer because it's such a broad question.
Has there been an investment you're like, man, like that you're like stressed about like after purchasing it?
Yeah, this past property I closed on, I am, because it's going to be my first time doing any like proper renovations, like bringing a wall down, remodeling the kitchen. I've never done that before. So I'm very intimidated by it. You know, you watch like the HGTV shows and they take the wall down and they realize, oh no, it's actually load bearing. We didn't know it was load bearing. So now you have to put a beam in. I don't know anything about that stuff, but you know what? I am so excited to learn. It's going to be great.
Is there like somebody that you partner out with that you like, hey, if you like, say like you need a help, like who do you like reach out to?
Yeah. So I do this all on my own, which has been one of the most validating parts of it because I knew nothing about it going into it. So I've just really had to do my own research, reach out to people. There's a website called Bigger Pockets where it's a bunch of real estate investors who get on there and just, there's like question, like you can ask questions. And I really just had to reach out to people and kind of like build a community by myself. And it was very intimidating because I'm quite young compared to most people in the real estate industry. And I'm a 5'1" girl. So I was so intimidated going up to these like businessmen who had been doing it for 30 years. But I'm like, you know what? So what? If they judge me, then I don't want to work with them anyway. I don't want to learn from them anyway. It is what it is.
No, yeah, I appreciate that because I know like a lot of people like just around me, they're like, hey man, we want to do real estate investment, but we're so scared that we buy something and it doesn't work out well, then we're just stuck with it.
It's terrifying. This is what I would say. It's so terrifying. Pick up a book, read a book, see if you're even actually interested in it because there's so many great real estate investing books. And then find a meetup. There's also so many investor meetups. Go in. Will it be a little intimidating? Absolutely. But listen to the conversation. See if it interests you. And if it does, maybe go grab coffee with one of them. I don't know.
What books do you like recommend for people to like read about? This is actually a cool conversation.
We're not even talking about Star. I love this type of stuff. So the first book I read was The Burr Method, and it's a really really popular strategy. And it was so mind-blowing to me, the fact that someone came up with such a intelligent strategy. And I'm like, this is so cool. I've never done a Burr. I've never used the Burr Method, but it's something I eventually one day want to use. But that's the first one I read. But there's so many. That's just the first one I picked up. I don't know.
Would you ever like create a show about this? Because you seem very passionate about it. Would you ever create a show like, hey, this is how I real estate?
Absolutely.
You know, there's so many shows like that now.
Yeah, I do. I think I totally see a world where like my acting and my real estate can collide, whether it's like an HGTV show or a whatever. Like, I totally see a world where I can be doing both simultaneously, like being on set, talk, because I'm so passionate. I get like my voice is like slowly escalating the more we talk about it. But anyway, Stargirl, yeah.
No, I appreciate you coming on. But no, I'm glad to hear about the real estate. Is there like any other things that you like want to get into, like outside like real estate?
Yeah, I mean, I do the writing. So I am very passionate about writing and eventually getting my work made. But I'm pretty patient. So I know I have a lot to learn still, and my work has a lot of room to get better, but you know, I'm open to that. So
how do like you manage your time, because you're doing the real estate investment, you're also acting like for like it feels like 20 hour days probably.
Yeah.
How do you like manage that?
That's actually one of my biggest problems right now. It's something I really, really struggle with. Like there was, when I first started filming these movies, I was sleeping maybe 2 hours a night because I was filming these movies. I was closing on a deal in Florida and I was still talking to my writing partner about certain changes we wanted to make on our script. And I just was not sleeping. And I was like, Breck, you gotta take care of yourself as well. That's something I'm still working on. I have a bit of a coffee addiction as it's 5:30 at night and I'm like, emptying a coffee, but you know, I'm aware that it's an issue of mine and I'm working on it.
Yeah. So what where do you see yourself in like 10 years? Like, where would you like to like have the Breck Empire look like?
I don't know what I'm gonna be doing in a year. I hope I'm on another show. I really love I've been so blessed to have been on 3 shows now at this point in my career. And I just thrive on like the consistent acting work of being on a show. So definitely see that. Hanging out with my dog a little bit more because I really miss my dog. He's back in Texas. I'll just say surrounded by like friends and family. Everything else would just be icing on the cake. But if I'm like working as an actor and surrounded by friends and family and my dog, like everything else.
No, I totally get it. Okay, I got one question for acting and real estate. Last one. Like, what is something you wish you knew like before entering acting, becoming an actor? And which one do you wish you knew before like real estate investment?
Yeah. One thing I wish I would have known before entering acting is maybe how hard, like how much it's going to take you away from people you love. There was 1 month, I think within 30 days, I had been on 20 different planes because I was traveling to conventions and set and just different things. And it definitely, like, I love my family so much and I don't get to spend as much time with them as I would like to. I'm not saying it would have, I still would have pursued acting because I think that's where what I'm meant to be doing and where I am, where I'm supposed to be. But I think maybe a little bit more preparation for that, just like know this about this career, because it's definitely taken some time for me to adjust to that type of lifestyle. And I'm not saying like you have to do that. Like, I think there's a world where you can be acting consistently and still get time with your friends and family, but it's something I'm still working on. And then for real estate, I would say, oh gosh, I'm still learning so much. I've only been doing it for 2 years. So just don't give up on yourself, because it can be really intimidating, but just go for it. I don't know.
Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you taking your time out of your day to do this.
Of course. I had so much fun talking with you. Thank you.